All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special Derby edition of the Horse Racing Happy Hour. I'm Mike Gandolfo, and I'm joined, as always, by Louis Rabeau. And we are live at the Blind Squirrel in Louisville, getting people ready for Derby 150. We're going to go through. We're going to do some handicapping today and just do a little just betting basics. Louis, this is our favorite show of the year.
Oh, no question. Absolutely one of our favorite shows of the year. Love getting to meet the people that show up for us. And so we get to do this both podcast and show because of our listeners, and it's absolutely fantastic to get to meet them. Yeah.
And if you are new to the Horse Racing Happy Hour, make sure you go back and check out. Last week was one of our most popular episodes ever, the Derby Draft. It's a great way to get a little snippet about every single Derby horse. Well, Encino's in there, who's no longer a Derby horse.
Yeah, if you want something, today. If you just want to sound smart for 30, 45 seconds at a Derby party, that's the episode for you.
Go to the Derby Draft, pick up some things, and you know,
track announcer Travis Stone on that one, Caitlin Free, the paddock reporter, and of course our friend Steve Kornacki. From NBC. That's right.
I mean, yep. Steve Kornacki did our show and Jimmy Fallon in the same week. That's all I got to say about that.
Right. There you go.
All right, Louis, go ahead. Let's kick us off. Or again, we're going to be at Churchill Downs live on air 10 to noon tomorrow, 10 to noon on Thursday,
10 to 1
on Friday, yep, and 11 to 2 on Derby Day. So as you're coming into the track, tune us in and
14
and
we'll hours of our guys here.
It's there cheaper than what a mint julep costs the track.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I didn't know where that was going. All right.
All right, Louis, how did we get here? What is the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, so how did we get to the Kentucky Derby? So if you are new to horse racing, this is an unusual race. It is confined to only three-year-old horses who have to qualify on a path either through Europe, through Japan, or different tracks around North America. Best predictors for this are recently the Santa Anita Derby and, of course, the Florida Derby. The second-place finisher in the Florida Derby won the Derby last year in Mage. The Wood Memorial historically has been a very, very good predictor of success in the Kentucky Derby. We have not had a winner from the Wood since 2000 with Fusaichi
Pegasus.
On the Derby side, horses of both sexes can qualify. So fillies can run in the Derby. A couple have won in the past, but not really too many. I don't. Grindstone?
Winning Colors.
Oh, Winning Colors. That's right. Sorry. And only females, fillies, as we call them at three years old, can run on Friday in the Kentucky Oaks.
All right. We're heading back. And now let's talk about tonight's betting menu. We will walk through all the horses in the Derby, so you will get a little snippet about those things as well. Introduce you to some of the top contenders for the Oaks. But I will tell you this, Louis, the Oaks is wide open.
Oaks feels wide open. We'll talk about why it might not be.
And we'll go through some just of the basics of wagering, how you structure a ticket. And really, that's kind of the key to how you're going to make money on Derby Day. And then finally, we're going to give you out some of our favorites, because one of the things that we've been bringing up on our show, if you've been listening to us, is that the Kentucky Derby is like watching middle school track. So if you want to, you know, see the 7th and 8th graders run the CSAA for $5 million, that's what it would be like.
It's different, though, because you can't hold your kid back a year in kindergarten and run later.
Yeah, but all these other horses that are on the undercard would be like Carl Lewis and Usain Bolt and all that other kind of stuff.
That's right.
We've got some unbelievable horses in some of these races. So let's get into it right now. The ABCs of betting, Louis.
Yeah, so some of the very basics of betting. So if you're a sports bettor, for example, you're trying to beat the house, right? So you're trying to beat the casino, the sports book, whatever it might be. In horse racing, you're actually betting against the person standing next to you, okay? So that you put $100 in, the track takes its $10, and then that $90 is dispersed based on who has the winning bet.
So I think the best way to explain that is Churchill Downs doesn't really care who wins. They've already made their money.
That's right.
They have something called the take. So every single dollar that comes in there, they can take a percentage of that. No matter who wins, they've already made their money. It doesn't change. It's going to be the same.
Exactly,
they just
right.
want you to bet.
That's right. And that's why, frankly, they do want to try to hire the best people at their desk, because if you win, you're more likely to bet again, right? So if you win a bunch of bets and bet a bunch more money, they make more money, et cetera, et cetera. The basic bets include win, place, and show. The win bet is very obvious. If your horse crosses the line first and there's no objection or what have you, you win your money back, plus the odds on top of that. A place bet is if your horse finishes first or second, but that pool is divided amongst the two horses that finish first and second. And then the show bet is obviously for third place. I recommend pretty highly against a show bet by the time you get down to those odds, especially if any kind of favorite comes in. Even if you like a long shot, it's not going to pay like it could if the horse runs second or first. So try to stay away from those show bets. But usually, you talked about the take. it's usually lowest on that kind of bet.
And actually, one of the fun things I like to do, if you're not a serious gambler, maybe you start with a $5 show bet and you just keep on like playing it forward until you lose.
That's right.
Like, you just keep on moving it forward. So that can be a lot of fun too. You know, a Safeway can, you know, pick a horse that's going to finish in the top three.
That's exactly right. There are also exotic wagers. That includes exactas, and exacta means that you pick the first two finishers in the race in exact order. The trifecta is the first three horses in a race in exact order. And, of course, the superfecta then would be four horses. On Derby Day, you will be able to bet a high five as well. I don't have to tell you how many of the horses in a row you have to pick.
Six.
The major.
Seven.
Good job at math there.
Five. Okay.
Buy a house for Mike. And they but all of the minimums on these superfectas and high fives go up for Derby to $1,
which is really a bummer because I love that dime superfecta and that is not available for the Kentucky Derby. So
the next type of wager is if you wanted to bet multiple wagers. So if you happen to be, say, a same game parlay person or a multi-game parlay person, this is the equivalent. In those, you're trying to pick the winner. We're doing exactly the same thing in what's called a daily double. That's back-to-back races. So you're trying to pick the winner of the first race and the second race in that sequence. And then a pick 3, 4, 5, and 6 just describes how many races you're trying to pick in that sequence. Obviously, the more races, the more difficulty, and you could pick more than one horse for those sequences, and it can get pretty expensive given all the combinations.
Now, one of the things that I think is really fascinating that a lot of people don't understand, and actually I was out the track today, and a guy was like, why did that exacta pay what it paid when I had the two favorites up top?
Yes.
And when the odds that you see on the board are just the win pool odds. So that has nothing to do with what the payout will be for the exacta, has nothing to do with what the payout would be on a place bet. It's only for a win bet. That is the only odds that they put on at the track.
That's exactly right. So if you have a 1-to-1 over a 2-to-1, it's not going to pay very well. And hey, take out on the mind. In other words, stay away from the superfectas and the high fives this weekend at Churchill Downs. Stick to other kinds of bets. Win, play, show for sure in big fields tends to be the very best bet that you can make on Derby weekend.
All right, here are the races that we're going to talk about tonight. On Oaks Day, we're going to talk about the Grade One.
It is a win.
Someone's going to win,
to be fair.
The Lotch Win, which is one of our favorite races.
It is one of our very favorite races.
Who are some of the horses that we've seen there before in Lotch Win?
Oh, man, Malathan, like Beholder, all the way back to, Songbird. I mean, just horse after
great
horse. Yes. Yep.
This is a filly and mare race, the older filly and mares. This is a great predictor for what could happen in the Breeders' Cup Distaff.
That's exactly right. It is the spring Distaff, essentially.
Right. And the
mile race of the 16th over the dirt. We'll talk about it later.
Race 9 is the Grade 2 Eight Bells, named after another famous filly that came in second in the Kentucky Derby. Eight Bells, tragically, though, broke down.
Did break down after, yep.
So that's, we got that one. And then, of course, the main event, Race 11, the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks. On Derby Day, we're going to cover the Grade 1 DC Distaff. We're going to talk about the Grade 2 American Turf, which has actually got kind of a fascinating play with Derby horse because we have a horse that has chosen to run in the Derby instead of the American Turf.
Yep.
And the turf course at Churchill Downs, maybe a question. They did not run the turf today, Louie. Did you notice that?
Of course.
Great. Then, of course, we have the Grade 1 Churchill Downs, the Grade 1 Turf Classic, and then finally the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby.
And the reason I select these races is if you want to play any of the Friday and Saturday wagers, they're up there. The only wager I think we don't have all of them for is, what's the three-year-old race, the one turn? Pad Day Mile.
Pad Day Mile, yes.
I don't have the Pad Day Mile up here. I'm glad to talk about it after the seminar. There is a $3 all three-year-old race pick three on Saturday.
Oaks, Pad Day Mile.
No, it's, no, I think it's just on Saturday.
Just on Saturday. Just Saturday.
Yeah. Pad Day Mile, the American Turf, and the Derby. We're not doing that. That's just the one we're not going to do. But there are 2-day pick sixes. Obviously, the Oaks Derby Double, those kinds of bets. All of them are covered tonight as part of this seminar.
All right, Louie, let's talk about who you like in that first race we talked about. This is Oaks Day. This is Friday. Race 5, the Grade 1 La Troin. Who did you like here, Louie?
Yeah, look, and this is where once in a while you get to see a superstar. And the Eclipse Award winner, which is the highest award in horse racing, is back in this race this year. She ran at Churchill Downs last year and won. Her name is Idiomatic. She'll be the 4-horse in Race 5 on Friday. She is the Eclipse winner for older dirt female, like I mentioned. She's the best in the game right now. Last year, she ran 9 times.
She won eight
of those and ran second once. If she's at all at her best form, she is going to win on Friday. The good news is she has been off since November. You might look at that and think, man, that's a lot of time off for a horse like that. But Brad Cox, local guy, grew up right down the street from Churchill Downs, comes off the layoff like that, layoff a time off for a horse, comes off a layoff like that at 32%. If you do anything in horse racing at 20%, that's exceptional. In this case, we're talking about a horse coming off at 32%. Shigera is the sixth horse here. Julian Leperu is going to get the ride. Another one coming off a longer layoff, but I have good news. Phil Bauer does two things really well. Trainer Phil Bauer, that is. He places horses in stakes company, and he brings them off the bench, off these layoffs, really, really well at 35%. So look for her to at least be part of it. She is 2-for-2 lifetime at Churchill Downs as well. Pretty Mischievous is in here. She won the Oaks. Was that last year? It was last year.
Last year.
Ran. Won the Acorn. Heads up to the test at Saratoga, wins that race. She's mega talented. I would not be surprised if she won here. 5-2 on the morning line. Totally deserved there as well. And then I went to quite a little bit of a longer shot for my fourth spot here. 15-1 for Corey Lannery and Chase Pommier. How about that? I thought showed up pretty well in the Apple Blossom last time out behind Adair Manor and Flying Connection. Adair Manor is a fantastic filly, not eligible to run at Churchill Downs because she's trained by Bob Baffert. That's the only reason she's not in the La Troyenne this weekend. She ran in that Apple Blossom, free like a girl at 15-1, running third in that race. I think if you're going to play a trifecta, something like that in this race, you have to include her.
So just want to make sure everyone understands something. Number one, it is not unusual for the older females to take this long layoffs in between races like
this. Especially females.
Right. Females especially. And one thing that we always talk about on our show.
We should talk about it, by the way. It's because they're ready to breed, actually. They go into heat, essentially. If you've ever had a dog, they essentially go into heat over the winter. That's a bad time to be racing is essentially what that works out to be.
And one of the things, if you listen to our show, we always talk about if you love racing, fall in love with the fillies and mares. They race longer. You might get to see them as a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes 6. So it's a good, you know, this is a good field to kind of like.
Yeah, especially like an idiomatic. She runs 9 times last year. I would guess if she's healthy, she'll run 6 or 7 more times this year. That's just fantastic. You can get to know her, you know her running style, get to use her in your wagers as well. This sets up for a great year of filly and mare
Pretty
races.
Pretty could be
turns.
A star too, right?
This is beastie, man. It's going to be great. Absolutely. Yes.
All right. Race 9 is the grade 2, 8 Bells. Louis, you had 4 horses here that you liked. Let's talk about number 7, Denim and Pearls.
Yeah, so Denim and Pearls is in this one. Flavian Pratt gets the ride again. This is for Brad Cox. Folks, the best run at Keeneland this year was her, Denim and Pearls, in the Beaumont grade 2 race, going the exact same distance. She's 1-for-1 at it. She did also win at Churchill Downs over the mile track, which is only 1 furlong longer, 1/8 of a mile longer. So they're going to start a little bit further up in the chute at Churchill Downs. So she'll start right there. I think she's got an excellent chance here. Flavian Pratt flies in for that one. He and Brad Cox win 1/3 of their races at Churchill Downs together. That's an absurd percentage. So definitely have Denim and Pearls on top. I have Impel in the second spot. And something I have noticed about these cards that you're going to notice tonight, I think the class of this weekend is going to show up. And so Impel is 5-2 here. I think it's cutting back to a more comfortable distance in this one. It's 2-for-3 lifetime, very lightly raced for the Brad Cox barn. Ran in that Ashland last time out, 1/16 at Keeneland. Just ran out of gas. If you look at the past performances, she's essentially in second place the whole time. She's there by a head, right behind all of the leaders, and then just fades at the end over that second turn. She doesn't have to do that on Friday at Churchill Downs. So I'm going to give her a really sharp chance there. If you want a long shot on Friday, this is the race to look for one. On the outside, the 12 horse, R. Harper Rose, is listed at 12-1. Tyler Gaffelione has won the riding title every year at Churchill Downs for the last 78 years in a row. He's unbelievable. That might be an exaggeration. He's teaming up with Savvy Joseph Jr. on this one. She won the Forward Gal, which is a grade 3 race. It's on the road to the Kentucky Oaks. They obviously think this horse is going to be a sprinter. So if you want a long shot on Friday, R. Harper Rose, the 12 horse, who is 12-1 as well on the line for Savvy Joseph Jr., should be good to go. The two of them win 1/3 of their races at Churchill Downs at 27% overall. And Helena's Forte is 10-1 here. Jose Ortiz, very fine jockey, has recently moved his business to Kentucky, his tack, as we call it, in the industry. Ran last time in the Ashland, hated going 2 turns. Gets back to 7 furlongs, is 1-for-1 at that distance before then was running in six furlong races. I'm not sure that she's of the class of the first three, but can she get a piece of this race? I think she can.
All right, we're going to move on now to the main event of Friday, which is the Grade One Kentucky Oaks. $1.5 million on the line for these fillies going a mile and an eighth. Louis, I think we're going to disagree on this one.
Okay.
You know, I love the way Just FYI has looked on the track this week.
Yes. And so Just FYI, third in my handicapping. She's second off the layoff here. So that's actually something I wanted to talk about. These layoffs that I keep talking about, I keep mentioning, horses do take this time off. Like we mentioned, the fillies especially, the fillies and mares need that time off in the winter just for natural reasons. In her case, let me get down to her in the PPs. I promise you. She is the 13 here. Junior Alvarado, Bill Mott, really, really great together. Bill Mott wins a quarter of his stakes races. I mean, that's a stunning number. So he places his horses really well. She came off the bench last time out. She ran a very, very good second at the short stretch at Keeneland. She will like the added distance here. I totally agree with you. A couple years ago, we watched Malathat almost run the exact same race in the Ashland at Keeneland, came back, won the Oaks the next month. And so could Just FYI be that filly again? No question in my mind.
All I know you like Teresa, though.
Bill Mott, Junior, Junior Alvarado, absolutely there. But the horse who's in the best form right now is Tarifa.
Yeah.
Brad Cox trainee, ridden by Flavian Pratt. Flavian Pratt might pick up some wins this weekend, folks. I might be happy.
He might have a good one, huh?
He's got a good deal going on.
By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. If you like a jockey and just want a better jockey,
no question,
go for it.
My buddy John's over here at the bar. He is a jockey better. He is a trainer better. He is a breeding better, and that's it. He doesn't look at the past performances. He doesn't care about that. Those are the things that matter to him. Find the thing that works for you in horse racing, and you'll always have fun with it. But Tarifa, look, 3-for-3 this year. We love the undefeated thing as a three-year-old. She's absolutely done that this year. Went ahead and won the Florida Oaks last time out. A lot of horses translate very well from Gulfstream Park to the surface at Churchill Downs. I'm hoping that she'll do exactly the same on Friday. Leslie's Rose is in this race, and this is a horse that just loves two turns. And so I'll be looking for her to be really good. The Ashland also, by the way, is a really good indicator of success and future success for fillies. And so she won that race. She was right there with Just FYI. If we think that much of Just FYI and she beat her last out, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt, put her in that second spot. And a horse that I liked on paper, and then I saw her this week during workouts, you know, 7:15 in the morning, is Thorpedo Anna. She's the 5 horse here in the Kentucky Oaks. Again, she dominated the fantasy at Oaklawn Park. We see a lot of transitioning between Oaklawn in Arkansas, Hot Springs, Arkansas, up here to Churchill Downs. She should make the switch, no problem. Brian Hernandez Jr. is a really, really good rider, and he's very, very good at Churchill Downs. He should be totally capable in this spot. And look, she dominated that fantasy. I mean, she put those other horses away in a very, very serious way. Kenny McPeak has won this race before, the Kentucky Oaks. He trains her. I think she's got a real shot as well.
All right, we're going to move on now to Saturday, and we're going to start with race 6, the Grade 1 DC Distaff. We got another just really good, at least the top two, really good horses here. Who do you like in this one, Louis?
Yeah, so in the Distaff, I'm actually going to land on Vava. And so there was a race recently, the Madison, is a Grade 1 one-turn race at Keeneland going 7 furlongs. Vava actually ran second, but that was her first race this year coming off the layoff, right? So she's going to be second off the layoff here, and I love that. Her first stop was at Keeneland. Keeneland doesn't always translate to Churchill Downs. For some reason, Mike, the fillies seem to run better at Keeneland than at Churchill Downs than the guys do. I don't
absolutely
know why.
Yeah,
it just
right
seems to be.
100%.
And so I think she's got a really, really serious shot here. You get Irad Ortiz Jr., the winner of the Eclipse Award for top jockey in North America last year. So if you wanted to land on a horse, I would land on Vava in this spot. I am really interested in Red Carpet Ready in this spot. I think she's terrific. 3-for-3 lifetime at Churchill Downs. 2-for-3, at the distance. And so definitely check her out. Luis Saez for Rusty Arnold here. Look, won the Here Comes the Bride at Gulfstream Park, a track that I've talked about translating well to Churchill Downs at 6.5 furlongs. 7 will be no issue for her. I fully expect her to be part of the equation.
And there is something
nice
to be said.
Number 2 at 9-2.
There should be something said. The 3-for-3, we call that horse for the course.
Horse for the course. That's
and
exactly
so that,
right.
There, if a horse loves a certain track,
yep,
you don't want to overlook it.
Yeah, so I think she's got a legitimate shot as well. We'll go to the 7 next in Alva Star. You get local guy Tyler Gaffalione. Again, 5-2 is probably going to be the favorite in this race because she won that race at Keeneland last out. Well, good for her. It was her second run, though. She already had her second race in 2024. So I'm just going to guess that she's not going to keep that form up as well as she has in the past. And so I'm just guessing on that. She's also perfect at Keeneland. So I think she really likes that track. I think coming back to Churchill Downs, where she's run once and didn't win, is a chance for us to beat her as the favorite in this one. And then I went to Three Witches on the inside, which I'm sure there's a joke there, but I don't have one.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
No. What was the
Three Witches?
They had the three with the toil.
Three Witches is in here. She's already 3-for-6 lifetime at the distance, has never missed the board. Again, Flavien Prat rides here for Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy, we'll talk about in a couple of races, has endlessly in the Kentucky Derby. Mike McCarthy trains here. He and Flavien Prat, not great at Churchill to this point, but they win 40% of their races together. 40. Those are better than Baffert numbers with 5 horse fields in California. 40%.
So coin flip.
Insane.
Coin flip, okay? Right there.
That is 8-to-1. And this is the West Coast speed. Once in a while, a horse ships in from California and they're just faster. They just are. This might be that horse. 8-to-1. Terrific price on Flavien Prat.
All right. Race 9 is the American Turf. It's a $600,000 race, 1 mile and the 16th on the turf. And again, Louie, this turf course, we got a lot of questions.
We do.
And we got to see how it's going to hold up. What are you going to be looking at? But sorry, like if you're watching the turf.
So I went
racing,
on Saturday for this reason. I wanted to watch races on the turf course. For now, it appears to be playing like a normal turf course. Not a ton of kickback, very normal amount of kickback at least. The turns seem to be playing normally. If you're a front runner, it's good for pace. If you're a closer, it's fine for closing. I'm not worried about the turf this week. I'm worried about the turf in June.
I mean, that's why they didn't race on it today, even though they probably could have.
They're just being careful. When you have this many grade twos and grade ones on that course, you just have to be careful, especially with all the issues they've had. Look, I'd rather have all the horses on the turf, but I also understand they're in a weird spot where they just really have to be careful.
Absolutely. All right, let's see. Right here, you started off with the 5-horse Legend of Time.
Legend of Time is coming in for Charlie Appleby, one of the great British trainers who brings his horses over for very select races. He comes over. He wins 58% of his races with horses starting in North America the first time. That's an insane. I'm telling you, there's a ton of class this weekend. It's going to be a fantastic 2 days of racing. So some of your bets might not return a lot of money, but you're going to see the very best horses that we can get in North America in a single race. Frankie Dettori is going to be in from Santa Anita to ride this weekend. Like I mentioned endlessly, actually. He'll be on,
Frankie Dettori's on
Society Man.
Yes,
Society on the Man. Outside. That's right, in the Derby. Frankie Dettori is a champion rider at Royal Ascot in Germany, in France, in different places. Obviously, he's an Italian jockey. Very capable on the turf. I fully expect this horse to come over in great shape. Charlie Appleby is an absolute must-use in this sequence. So look for him. Look for him on top here. Neat is the next horse that I wanted to go to. We're going to get a price here a little bit.
It's also how I like my bourbon, Louie.
That's true.
It's neat. I like the bourbon.
Oh, man, I lost my spot. Sorry.
It's all right. Well, you know.
There's Neat. Yeah, 6-to-1 here. Raylu Gutierrez took over the mounts for Neat, the 6-horse for Rob Atris, a couple races back. Man, she ran and won in her last race last year, came back this year after a layoff, and won again on the turf at Keeneland. The turf at Keeneland travels really well to other courses. So if you run well at Keeneland, you can run well at Santa Anita. You can run well at Belmont. You can go to other places and run well. No different here at Churchill Downs as well. As an aside, I know people love buyer figures and the numbers and those sorts of things. 2-turn route races on the turf, less.
Yes.
Not zero, but less.
Less, okay. Right.
And so in this case, if you see numbers in the 80s or whatever, kind of push that aside. Become a person that watches the times. The finish times for these races, because this horse in this case ran it in a $1.44 last time out at a mile and a 16th.
Not to get too far ahead of like too advanced, but also I think if you're looking at where they were positioned, because they're going to be bunched together. These route races are bunched together. When they start to separate and how far they separate, that's to me is something that I would look for.
There you go. Neat is also 3-for-3 at the distance. That's a big deal to me. So she's run this 3 times at this distance and won all 3 of them. That's an awesome stat for me. 6-to-1 is a huge number. So if that Euro for some reason doesn't show up, doesn't like the course, is tired from travel, the time change, I don't know, whatever it might be for that horse, Neat might be picking up the pieces. Yeah. Solid 5-1, 6-1 kind of price. I'm into that for sure. 10 is the 10 horse is set, coming in only run twice. And this is more me trusting connections than anything else. Mark Cassie, a fantastic conditioner of young horses, has set in the spot. Really good over two turns. In fact, with this horse, if I'm remembering correctly, yes. So 7.5 furlongs at Gulfstream Park is two turns. So this horse has been going the two turns. We are going to go another eighth of a mile longer. So that is absolutely a question. But in this case, she's a daughter of Oscar Performance. That's a horse that got the distance. No problem. So I'm not worried about that part either.
Cassie's look, also an excellent turf trainer.
Cassie's an excellent turf trainer. He does a lot of work at Woodbine in Canada, where there's a ton of turf racing. And he wins back-to-back races. So if his horse wins the race before, they come back and win a fifth of their races, 21%. So that's a nice number too. So if we're looking for little angles, try to get a little bit of a price, it's a 10-1 horse. 10-1 is fantastic. That can make your day, frankly. And so look for set to absolutely be part. By the way, if you notice that I have five horses listed with every other race I've had four, that's because I think a lot of horses can win this race. And that's awesome. That's always the best kind of race. Cugino is just outside for Javier Castellano. And for Shug McGahee, of course, this is a horse that actually hasn't done a lot of winning yet. Has run second three times in a row. But in these route races on turf, so often we see what we call blanket finishes. Tons of horses on the line at the end. I'm looking for maybe this is the one time that horse pops through. We saw it last year, actually, in the other three-year-old, or actually in the same race. Webb Slinger did the same thing. I don't know if people remember that name. 15-1. He had kind of been right there at the end in a bunch of races. Broke through. Gosh, what did he pay? $22, something like that?
Yeah, big.
Really nice prize. And so look for that as well. That's a horse that I think could get there and stay hot as the seven. Antonio Frasu, I threw this one in because once in a while, I don't know what the California turf horses are going to do. But I like horses this young, especially, that win. And this horse has won three in a row, and I like that a lot. So I'll be looking for him. Excuse me. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. So once they move to Antonio Frasu, that's a name you're going to have to start getting used to because that guy's going to win a jockey title or two in Santa Anita before he moves somewhere with better purses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, how about that?
I mean, we've been talking about that a lot this week, right?
Yes, we are. So get ready for a guy like Antonio Frasu, especially when we get to Kentucky Downs, those kinds of meets. You'll hear his name a lot more.
All right, the Churchill Downs Stakes is the next race we're going to cover, which is race 10. It is $1 million, 7-furlong sprint on the dirt. And, Louie, should we do the Raising Cane's read with this? Because Raising Cane's is in this race.
No? I love that horse, by the way.
I mean, you got to. And I love the chicken fingers.
Yeah, there you go. If you listen to the show, the Canes read is a very specific thing that I do every Tuesday. We did
you
it
made
today.
Someone very uncomfortable today with it. I know
I
that.
Made someone very comfortable today.
Yeah, 100%.
No, that's okay.
Another horse that we love.
I even cover my own face when I do it. It's okay. Like, it's all right. I'm not proud of myself. It's
another
okay.
horse that we love in this race that is not on your list, though, is Mr. Wireless. It's a horse that we've seen.
Oh, for sure. Just sentimental reasons.
Yeah, just sentimental. Not horses we think are going to win or whatever else. Yeah. By the way, if we're talking about the Canes read, it might be a great time to mention that you can go to Manscaped, put in the code horse racing, and get 20% off your order.
We appreciate sure folks at Manscaped hanging out with the show for sure.
There looks like a lot of people here who Manscaped.
Dan Issel got his Manscaped box. He's very appreciative. We'll talk about that on the show the next couple of days. I think if you're going to single on Derby Day, this might be the spot. And I think it's with Zozos. Even though he's coming off the bench, like I said, I think Brad Cox does that as well as anyone in the game. He's the classiest in this field. To me, this is a weekend of class. Tons of great horses coming in for
class
grade ones,
class.
Grade twos. This is not a grade one field. It simply isn't. On our show, we talk a lot about, hey, what is the actual grade of this race? I would give this a 2-. I think it's that much lower than a grade one. Zozos,
crazy,
to me,
when we talk about $1 million purse.
We're talking $1 million.
Yeah.
In my mind, though, Zozos is the grade one horse in this field. Gun Pilot's in here, longer price. I really like Christian Torres as a jockey. He's going to win the jockey title at Oaklawn. Really, really talented guy. Look for him in this race to be a more balanced runner. So when we talk about 7 furlongs, you kind of just think, man, go out as fast as you can and get the lead and see if you can hold on. This horse isn't going to do that. He's going to have some late kick. And if the track turns out on Saturday to be one where it's not great to be on the lead, it could be Gun Pilot at 10-1. That would be the ending, be the horse that ends up winning here. Steve Asmussen and Christian Torres win 21% of their races, similar 20% at Churchill Downs as well. So if you're looking for a price in this race, again, look to Gun Pilot, the 10. I would also look at Tejano Twist. And this is how much I don't love this field. I have this horse in second or third, excuse me. He's run three times this year, 3 seconds. That seems to be his thing. Once in a while, horses figure out that as long as they run kind of hard, they still get fed when they get back to the barn. He might be one of these horses. And so he turned five this year. He might be on the way to not wanting to do this anymore. So I'm wondering if he'll do that. But he has won at Churchill Downs a couple of times. And so I think he's capable of winning here. The only thing with him is I think he's more of a 6-furlong horse than a 7-furlong horse.
Hoist the Gold, by the way, is super fascinating because that's a name I think some people will recognize.
Yes.
But
so
we got
Hoist the Gold is here for a guy that we really like, Dallas Stewart.
Yep.
Johnny Local Velasquez trainer. Is going to pick up the mount here. Something that's very difficult to predict is when horses travel across the globe to race, how will they come back to where they're based and run? So this horse shipped to the Arabian Peninsula to run in the United Arab Emirates or Saudi Arabia, those kinds of places. Coming back to the United States, usually a horse needs a race just to get their feet underneath them. This horse is massively talented. So if the 11 wins on Saturday, I'm not going to be stunned. Frankly, I should probably have him above Tejano. Well,
especially with the field being as bad as it is, right?
Yes, that's right. And so this is also a horse who can maintain his speed better on the backstretch, on the finish, than most horses in this field. Plus, he's got very good early kick. I think if he runs his race, he'll be third, fourth in this field and then be able to take it over at the end. Zozos, though, will be on the lead. If he's got any kind of stamina on Saturday, I expect him to win.
All right, race 11, which is one of our favorite races.
No question. I love
Old Forester Bourbon Turf Classic. $1 million on the line here. A mile and an eighth on the turf.
I randomly heard someone say, there's my beer, and I look around.
There's my beer?
It's Columbus.
Oh, yeah. Columbus. Come on, Columbus.
Keep your beer to yourself.
All right, here's the four horses we like here. Let's start with number 11, Naval Power.
By the way, the mile and an eighth race at Churchill Downs is the one on the turf. If you're looking out to the track, they start all the way at the top of the stretch. And it's my favorite route in horse racing. I love the mile and an eighth races at Churchill Downs. This race, it's why the turf course not being in great shape really kills me inside.
Absolutely.
Because I love this. I love this race. I love this route. And it really bothers me that we don't have it together locally here in Kentucky. I'm really hopeful that they figure things out. I'm going to be terribly boring here. I'm going to the Euro here in Naval Power. Again, this is the overseas form that we're going to trust. This horse is 2-for-2 at the distance. 1-for-2 this year. And that loss actually was at Keeneland, first time in North America. So we talked about maybe a horse bouncing when they get over here. They kept the horse in Kentucky since that Maker's Mark Mile. Will be running on Saturday in this Turf Classic. Frankie Dettori gets the mount instead of Tyler Gaffalion. We'll see if that helps the horse in this case. But yeah, Naval Power on top for me. We'll go to, we'll go to six. I'm very busy.
Yes, we are.
Isn't it amazing? I gotta get this off my chest. Aren't the busiest people in the world childless 20-somethings? How are you so busy? You just slept for 9 hours. You're not busy. I got 4 kids. You're not busy. Anyways, so I'm very busy. Trained by Chad Brown, and the speed figures are off the charts. Off the charts. 103 last race, 101 before that. Both of those this year. One at Fairgrounds and one at Gulfstream Park. So this is a horse that can travel. So, Mike, I think we've got two horses at the top of this thing that are the very best in the Turf Classic. And you get Irad Ortiz with Chad Brown.
Irad and Chad, man. That's
Irad
and Chad, combo.
27% overall. I would guess on turf. You know what? I should have looked this up. I apologize. I would guess on turf the number's considerably better.
Although Irad and Chad, not as dominant as they were 2-3 years ago. I mean, that's
and
still.
And Chad choosing Tyler for a lot of these mounts.
Absolutely.
Right?
This
now,
still
he gave Irad his second choice of mount in the Derby.
Yeah, that's true.
And I interviewed him about that on Saturday. We'll get to it when we talk Derby. These things are fluid. They move, but Irad's still very capable on the turf for sure. Program Trading is coming off the layoff for Chad Brown. We talk about trainers and what they're good at. Chad Brown, great at bringing horses off the layout, over 20% in the winners. This is a horse royally bred in Europe. And so I'm interested to see how he comes off this layoff. Ran at Colonial, then they shipped him to California. He won the race in California after shipping from Virginia. That's pretty impressive. I love horses that can ship and win because that's what Derby weekend is. Many of these horses are not stabled here. They have to ship in. In this case, Program Trading, the 5-horse hits that. And then guess who's back, Mike?
Web Slinger. Web
Slinger's back. He won the American Turf last year. We mentioned that. I can actually look. Web Slinger paid.
If you're a Spider-Man fan, you got to go with Web Slinger, right? I mean,
he paid $22. What did I say, 22?
Yeah, you're there. You
That's
hit
a ridiculous
it.
Memory. I don't know my wife's favorite color, but I know that Web Slinger paid $22 in the American Turf last year.
You know my favorite color.
2-for-2, Kentucky Blue.
Oh, of course.
Okay, yeah. Two for two at Churchill Downs. Like I said, won that American Turf last year. You're going to get 10 to 1 on that horse. And once in a while, this Mark Cassie again, once in a while, you just get a horse that loves the turf course. And if he won it last year on the janky turf course, he can win it again on the janky turf course.
Absolutely. All right, now, we're on the Derby. Do we want to go through the field before we get to your top picks?
Yeah, let's go through the field.
Okay, we're going to go through the field of the Kentucky Derby.
Everyone's looking at that like, holy crap, he's got Endlessly on top. We'll get there, I promise. Don't worry, we'll get
now,
there.
And I'm right there with everyone else who has
you and every single media member.
But if Endlessly wins, you got to remember that Louie had it, because that's going to be it's going to be the talk right there.
45 to 1.
We're going to go straight through it, you know. And I will say this, Louie,
please.
Let's talk. We'll go through this field.
Yes.
And we like to eliminate horses.
Yes, right.
So we'll just go. We'll talk a little bit about them. Eliminate winner. Win contender or just a contender to hit the board?
I think if they make it, if we like them, we say they're manscaping.
We're manscaping them?
And if they're nose, we say they're hairy or something.
The Zohan. They like the bush.
Yeah, no. Okay. Yay or nay is good. Yeah.
All right. Door knock in the one. That's a really tough post position draw. But since we've had that 20-horse state,
yes,
it has moved it back, and that's now more of a straight shot. I still don't like door knock in the one. Super, super talented. He's actually beat Sierra Leone. So
if you want to get into the weeds about the Derby, Door Knock's a perfect example. Runs last out in the bluegrass at Keeneland. We haven't had a Derby winner out of the bluegrass since 1991. I was 10 years old. I have four kids. Goal? My youngest daughter's in first grade. Okay.
So no, that's not right.
I don't remember. I'll be very honest.
Go for Jen.
It's been that long. He did not win that race. So that doesn't bother me. Before that, he ran in the Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream Park. Way better predictor for success in the Kentucky Derby is Gulfstream Park than Keeneland. So if you wanted a reason to go with Door Knock, the two horses right next to him, Sierra Leone and Mystic Dan, are not speed horses out of the gate. Door Knock is. So that one gate's a little less of a problem than it would be for a lot of horses. Plus, if he's going to try to be a speed horse, he's actually going to save a lot of ground being inside. So if you wanted to make the case for Door Knock, that's it. Plus, by the way, go back to the podcast. We've got an interview for Danny Gargan that we did yesterday about Door Knock and about his other horse, Exciting.
The two horses, Sierra Leone. This horse came in to the Kentucky Derby as one of the two probable favorites, probably the biggest loser of the position draw.
No question.
There.
Yeah.
Sierra Leone, dead set closer, is going to want to drop back. Louie, if that horse comes into traffic as it tries to drop back, as everyone's trying to push over the rail, yeah, it could be trouble.
It could be trouble, or it could set up really well for him.
It very well could.
Because I think we've got a couple horses that think they need to either be the lead or right on it, and he's not going to have to worry about that. Everyone always tells you, oh, there's no pace in this race. There's no pace in this race. That's complete crap. These jockeys are humans. Let's be very realistic. So Door Knock's jockey is Luis Saez, okay? That's the one horse on the inside I told you is going to break for it. You think Luis Saez isn't going to go a little bit too quick on that? I think he is, okay? So instead of going 47 and something, he's probably going to go 46 and something.
Door Knock's going.
So listen to me right now. I'm telling you, the first fractions that you will see in the Kentucky Derby will be like 23 and 2, and then the next
I think he's going to be 22 something.
46.6 seconds for the half mile. I'm just telling you, when you see it on Saturday, when you're at your Derby party, you go, that Louis guy said it was going to be 46 and 6. That's what's going to happen. Sierra Leone will have speed to run into. Look, he's the most talented closer in the field.
Absolutely.
So if he can make his way through, he can absolutely win. Generally speaking, since we started the point system a dozen or so years ago, closers don't win this race. Rich Strike ruined a lot of things for a lot of people, for sure. But look, generally speaking, it's very difficult to make your way through 20 horses. It just is. You can close in a 7, 8, 10 horse field, but when you double it, it's considerably harder. That'll be his challenge on Saturday.
All right, the three horse at 20-1 is going to be Mystic Dan, trained by Kenny McPeak and ridden by Brian Hernandez Jr.
So I talked to Dan. Yeah, I talked with Brian this morning. We watched him gallop a little bit this morning in Mystic Dan. 20-1 on the morning line. I think you'll get every bit of that price unless it rains, because he ran one of the great 3-year-old races of the year this year in the Southwest. If you want to go back and watch a jockey really do his job, watch the Southwest replay. Hernandez takes him essentially from the 2 or 3 path and just rockets him, almost slingshots him up the rail. The rail that day was the place to be. He knew that, gets him on that spot, and the horse explodes. So if it rains and it's ugly on Derby Day, Mystic Dan might be the play. I'm going to tell you his odds are going to go down, but I think you'll still get 12 or 15 to 1.
All right, we got Zach's over here eating some food, man. Zach, what do you mean, Zach?
Zach, what'd you get?
Little cheesesteak action cheese over there.
Steak. How about that?
So we got two Zachs that are really close to us. Zach Cantrell is the producer.
Producer on Rabot.
For the Rabot & Co. Also helps me out with the basketball post-game shows.
Post-game shows, UK shows, that's right.
And Zach Zahner, who's the bum, and he's not here.
So he is, I agree that he's a bum, yeah.
There
yeah.
it is. The four horse to me, but by the way, Mystic Dan, the first horse that I would say is a threat to hit the board, because you're always looking for that bomb to kind of hit the board.
Like the 20-1 or longer.
Yeah. Don't think Mystic Dan's winning this race?
I think Mystic Dan's more likely to hit the board the door knock. Yes, I agree. Yes.
Four, Catching Freedom is, to me, this horse is really polarizing. You either love him or you don't. I'm in the camp that does not love him. I think you're in the camp that does love him. I did not like Mage last year, so bet everything on Catching Freedom. So go ahead.
8-1. I think you'll get all of that price on Saturday, maybe a little bit more. The connections would say that you won't, but it's a 20-horse field. I think Fierceness is just going to catch so much cash that other horses are going to turn into values by the time we get to post on Saturday. Catching Freedom is my number two pick in the Derby. I think he's really, really capable. Comes out of that Louisiana Derby, the Louisiana path to the Kentucky Derby. Not, frankly, a very fruitful one, I'll be very honest. But they run it at a mile and 3/16. It's only a 16th of a mile shorter than the Derby. And one of the questions we always ask about these three-year-olds, because the Derby, for many of them, is the longest race they'll ever run, ever, at 10 furlongs. So 10/8 of a mile and a quarter, quite literally, okay? Catching Freedom has already won at a mile and 3/16, and he did it in a style where he jumbled essentially out of the gate. He kind of drifted a little, and he had to do all the work late and still won the race. Connections, I'm in.
All right, the five horse here, Catalytic. Actually, he's a horse, 30-1, that you think could have a really solid career in horse racing. Yes. Probably not going to win the Kentucky Derby, but it could be a future star in our sport.
If you are looking for a long shot that has done something familiar, Catalytic ran second in this year's Florida Derby. Last year's winner was Mage, who also ran second in the Florida Derby last year.
By the way, we didn't mention that door knock.
You get Jose freaking Ortiz. I mean, like, you get a very top jockey for that horse as well.
We did not mention that door knock. The one horse is a full brother to Mage.
Yeah, that's. So, I don't know how we didn't do that. Yes.
Number six, 20-1 shot. Just Steal, one of the two justified horses here. Dwayne Lucas with a Derby starter. Everybody would love that from a sentimental reason. Do you like Just Steal?
The only reason I'm tossing this horse is because of the jockey. And not because I haven't interviewed him. I have. Not because I don't think he's a good guy. I do. And not because I don't think he's going to be a future jockey. A great jockey. I do. Keith Asmussen gets his first mount in the Oaks and Derby this weekend. It's a big stage, man. It's a big, big stage. And I think for a guy, let's say like 23, I think at some point these stages are too big. Even Tyler Gaffelion, we kind of take for granted. He's 29. He's still only 29, but you can think about six more full years of riding to get Keith to that level. I definitely see it, by the way. I think he's that talented. It's not a question. This horse, to me, though, because of the connection, is just not going to make it.
All right, the 20-1 shot, seven horse. This is the buzz horse this year.
No question.
Because of local connections. Whit Beckman literally grew up, like, right over there in Anchorage. Yeah. Went to St. X, having his first ever. I don't even know which direction. That way.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So Whit Beckman has his first Derby starter here with Honor Marie getting a lot of play. I think this horse is a little too slight to handle this kind of bump that might happen. What do you think?
I'm staying away from him because of what you just said. I think a lot of people locally are just buzzing, and I watch Danza do this, and I watch, you know, other horses.
Danza.
I always go to Danza. But Danza hit the board. That's what's funny. Danza actually hit the board. It's the worst example of a buzz horse I could use. But I just, as a winner, no. Hit the board. Maybe Ben Curtis gets them out here. I actually don't like that. Everyone else seems to love that. I don't like Ben Curtis getting them out here. To me, he's a turf jockey, not a dirt jockey.
And you race totally different. But I guess the point being is that
they like
a big field won't bother.
I can tell you why. He raced a lot in Europe, much bigger fields, so he'll be used to a 20 horse type of field. That's why people like Ben Curtis riding in the United States for the first time this year.
All right, the 8 horse. This is my favorite Brad Cox horse.
You're not alone in that, by the way. You're not alone. A lot of people like Just a Touch. Yep.
So this is Just a Touch. Frenchie on board with Brad Cox. 10-1.
We saw Floron on the draw this year. Good to see him.
He did not catch the plane to the Breeders' Cup that we were on.
He did not.
But
that was funny. The poor stewardess is like, is Florent Gayrou on here? And we're like, that's not how you're not a horse racing person. That's what I just learned about you. If you want the horse that has run the most like Mage from last year, Just a Touch is that horse. Second place finish in his last prep, qualified via that, has been running well, but not great to this point. Only run three times, super lightly raced, but everything else about him makes sense. His dad is justified, won the Derby. His mom is by Tappet. That's a two-turn horse for sure. He's totally bred for this. The connections are what they are. Brad Cox and Florent Giroux in their last 66 races at Churchill Downs have won 29% of them. That is a huge number. Florent knows the course. So if you want a 10-to-1 type of horse or just want to include as part of that late pick three, pick five, whatever you want to do, just a touch, you probably have to include.
All right. So the number nine horse here, Encino, is scratched. He just scratched this afternoon. Now, why that's important, Louie, is so we've heard that dreaded number 17 slots never won the Derby.
Well,
fierceness now longer.
It's two parts. So Forever Young went from being the first horse loaded.
Right.
Because they do a dual load in the Kentucky Derby.
That's
they
true.
Go 1, 10,
to the last.
2, 11, all the way through. He went from very first, very last in putting him in the gate. If you care about that stuff, horse not having to stand there waiting for nine other horses to go in, Forever Young might be the biggest beneficiary of the scratch.
Fierceness will go from the 17 slot to the 16 slot. And so even though Fierceness will still be number 17 in the program.
That's an important point, actually. So the program numbers do not change. Okay? So Epic Ride comes in. That's right. Epic Ride comes in as the 21 horse, much like Rich Strike a couple of years ago. By the way, they both came from Turfway. I don't know what to tell you. We just got another Rich Strike in this race. I don't know what to tell you.
All right, now, so we're going to talk about the 10 horse. This is the first Japanese horse. This is T.O. Password. Louis, I have fallen in love with this horse.
I was
going to
say, why don't you talk about him? You're way over, you're head over heels on this guy.
I've actually really just
eyeballs,
liked watching
right? it's
the Japanese horses. You know, I get out there, I watch them work in the mile chute, and then see them on the track. This horse, to me, just has the body type that wins the Derby. It's got a nice ass. Let's be just be real.
It
it's
is
a
it
nice,
is.
Big ass.
It does.
And that's what happens in the Derby. They
Serengeti
win this thing.
Empress, one of the finest asses I've ever seen, dominated the Open.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm looking at this horse. Only one has run twice. We know nothing about him. But I'm not going to be shocked if this horse hits the board. I think I would be shocked.
New day in horse racing. The two race thing doesn't deter me at all.
Yeah.
You watch Justify come in with three races, wins the Triple Crown. That doesn't bother me anymore. I just don't know enough about these horses to include them in tickets. I don't want to say I'll let them beat me, but that's kind of my attitude about
right.
this. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what most people would be.
But it should be pointed out too, Kimura is coming in from Woodlawn to ride this horse, or from Woodbine, excuse me, I did that twice today. Coming in from Woodbine to ride this horse, he is the champion jockey in Toronto every year, and he's Japanese. So clearly the talking to the horse, the language that's used with the Japanese horses really matters to them. So they're paying for him to fly down and ride this horse. Should be an interesting one. He'll be in the nine hole on Saturday.
And I like the 11 a lot too. Forever Young. This is why I was taking so much interest in the Japanese horses. I thought this horse was a serious contender. I think, like you said, this horse won the draw and now has super won the draw. Talk a little bit about Forever Young.
I think the most talented person is, as far as a handicapper with what's called the Daily Racing Form, the DRF, is a man named Dan Illman. He's based in New York. He does a lot of mid-Atlantic things, but then does the YouTube page for Daily Racing Form. His number one on the Kentucky Derby rankings is this horse, Forever Young. Now, this is a UAE Derby horse, and that is a great predictor historically for not even hitting the board in the Kentucky Derby. Okay, they don't even hit it the top five. So it's you are going against history if you play Forever Young. But it is impossible to overlook Japanese success at the Breeders' Cup in recent years. And Mike and I are both of the opinion that we will have a Japanese winner of the Kentucky Derby, I think, in the next 5 years. Are you in that camp?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
This horse is fully capable of doing it. We've seen him on the track. He breathes today. T.O. Password, by the way, looked fantastic working out today.
Super comfortable, right? Both super comfortable.
If a Japanese horse is going to break through, it could very well be Forever Young.
Did I startle you? Are you good?
Sorry?
Did I startle you?
No, he just – T.O. Password looked good today. I don't know what else to tell you.
It's
that ass, man. I don't like it.
That 12 horse is another horse that's probably not going to win the Derby. But you think it hit the board, and you also think could be a star later on.
I think Track Phantom is going to be a star at 7 furlongs.
Furlongs, a sprint horse.
Yeah, I think he's going to be more of a miler, a 7 furlong type. We'll see him in the Churchill Downs, that kind of race in future years. Steve Asmussen, though, I'm not – look, no. We had this conversation today with Ron Moquette, really fun one, on the show. I think you got to try the Derby. I think if you got a good three-year-old and you qualify for the Derby, I think you got to try it. And if it doesn't work, pull your horse up. By the way, Whitmore finished last in this thing in 2016. He won the Breeders' Cup Sprint.
And then won $4.5 million.
Yeah, right. I mean, they named a town in Arkansas after him. I mean, cripes almighty, right? So, look, horses can run poorly in the Derby and go on to great careers. I don't think Track Phantom's going to run poorly, but I do think he's going to try to be part of that early pace, and I think he's going to wear out. And so Track Phantom is an absolute toss for me.
I would say the other buzz horse right now is West Saratoga.
And do you know why?
Absolutely. The characters in that barn are just the are we going to get the exercise rider on?
We're getting him tomorrow.
So
the exercise rider for West Saratoga is a Jamaican kid, and we're going to talk to him tomorrow. He's got big dreadlocks and everything. He's fantastic. So,
and Larry,
we're
going to have him on the show tomorrow. He's going to be fantastic. Larry's like one of the best trainer interviews that you could possibly have.
Larry DeMerritt is unbelievable.
And listen, and people want to bet the gray horse, right? This is the only gray horse.
I want people to know that this horse won the very first Kentucky Derby, rode to the Kentucky Derby race, the Iroquois, in September. Over the mile course at Churchill Downs. So the horses won at Churchill. If you want an angle, that would be it. The other part is Larry DeMerritt has a tiny operation. He has had 14 starters this year. 14!
Little guy.
His 15th start, and he's like this. He weighs less than my 12-year-old. And this would be his second win of the year. He has one win this year, and he's got a runner of the Kentucky Derby. This is the Rich Striker this year, honestly.
Like, how rare is it, Louis, for an Iroquois winner to make it to the
Derby? We have two horses that won early. The first two Derby preps made the gate. That's
right.
Unbelievable.
Unheard of.
What I should do right now is commend Larry for how incredibly difficult it is, especially with colts, to be good in September and be good in May. And that's what he's trying to do. It's remarkable. It's worth remarking.
All right, Louis, here it is. We are talking about Endlessly. I need to know, is it that you love Endlessly, or do you love the Jeff Ruby Stakes, or a little bit of both?
It is both. I also love that Mike McCarthy doesn't want to run this horse. I think he's a liar. I think he's lying about that. I think he knows what he has, and I think this horse is going to sit.
You think he's downplaying the whole thing, huh?
Absolutely. He's blaming the 90-something owners, which is the easiest thing to do. They can't hear, so he can say whatever he wants.
Over here, Mr. Havocamp.
I think the horse sits six, seven, eight behind a ridiculous pace, and I think he's in the mage spot. The orb spot. I think actually orb is probably the best way that I can describe it. If 2013 runs back, Endlessly wins the Derby on Saturday at a price of like 40-45 to 1.
So that if you all
by the way,
the
other thing we need to do is Turfway. We need to talk about the Jeff Ruby Stakes. I want everyone to look me in the face right now. Did you notice there used to be a conference called the Pac-10, and then it was the Pac-12, and now it doesn't exist anymore, and those schools are all going to conferences centered around Indiana and Texas, okay? We need to get over this stuff in horse racing about what the great tracks are and what the other ones aren't. The Jeff Ruby Stakes produced the second-place finisher last year in two fills, and he did every bit of the work last year. Rich Strike finished third in that race a couple of years ago, and won the damn thing. Before they switched the surface, Animal Kingdom won the 2012 Kentucky Derby. I just mentioned the race at Keeneland hasn't had a winner since 1991. We've had two and a second-place finisher out of Turfway. Stop telling me that Keeneland's a better predictor for success at Churchill Downs. Look at all of you. You understand me? Does everyone understand me? Huh? Good. Okay. Endlessly. Thank you, sir. Endlessly, serious shot here, and you're going to get a serious price.
I mean, two fills. Won the Ohio Derby. Well, how prestigious is that? All right.
He ran second in the Kentucky Derby. What do you
the
want?
The 15 horse.
If I give you a horse at 40-1 that runs second
you're
in the
not
Derby,
wrong.
Get over yourself.
The 15 is domestic product. 30-1 shot here. This is Iran Chad, but on the dirt.
Yes, that's right. Domestic product won. If you want a great finish to a Derby race, go back, watch the Tampa Bay Derby. Four horses right on the wire. He was one of them. What if you want to make the case for domestic product, it's the connections first. Jockey trainer, for sure. Son of Practical Joke, and Mom is by Painter. Both of those really, really good two-turn sires. The thing here that you would have to like about the Tampa Bay Derby, terrible predictor of success in the Derby, is that it was a very slow race, and he needs pace to run into, and he still overcame it. So if you wanted to make the case for domestic product in this one, it's those three things, essentially. That's a lot, by the way. Those are really good.
One of the things you're supposed to do is bet the first Derby that you see on the Derby horse you see on the backside.
Okay. Grand Mo the first?
For me, that was Grand Mo the first. I'm probably not going to bet Grandma the First.
Oh, you're too old, but do you know the show Sophia the First?
I've heard of it.
Are there any parents in here? No, Sophia. Oh, there's a granddad right there.
All right, we know it. Okay.
Oh, well, there's a mom. Hey, there she is. There's a dad. Okay.
All right.
So when I see Grandma the First, I think Grandma the First. That's what I think. So if anyone else is thinking that, there it is. Boom. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but I should do that.
Making an ass of yourself, right? Yeah.
What else you got to say about Grandmother First?
There you go. Yeah. I would not bet this horse.
Yeah.
This horse third by 10 lengths in the Florida Derby. I should tell the story. I also tossed Abel Tasman for that reason out of the Santa Anita Oaks, and then she dominated the Kentucky Oaks. I'll be very clear. I did not like him in the mornings, which means he'll win the Kentucky Derby.
All right, we're going to talk. The next three horses to me are super fascinating. We're going to talk about the Derby favorite, Fierceness, now breaking out of the 16 spot. The besmirched winner of the Santa Anita Derby with Stronghold. And then Resilience, the winner of the Wood. So we've got three straight 100-point winners here.
And for a long time in the point system, that mattered.
That mattered.
Right? So statistically, we talk about stats and horse racing all the time. Winning a 100-point race matters. 17, 18, 19, Saddlecloths all did exactly that.
And Fierceness has an owner, Mike Rapoli. He's kind of shy, a little reserved. We're hoping a win in the Kentucky Derby will help bring him out of his shell.
It would be nice. You know, you cheer for the small guy.
Yeah, right.
These billionaires, you have to feel good about
the vitamin water guy, you know, let's go for it. All right, let's talk Fierceness here, Louie. I firmly believe that if this horse has no trouble, runs his race, there's no horse that can beat him. If he gets his trip.
That's right. To me, he's a 50-50 horse. He either runs it or he doesn't.
He wins or he misses the board.
Yes, that's it. So my concern about Fierceness is very simple. If John Velasquez cannot keep this horse from joining what I think is going to be a torrid pace up front, he's going to run out of steam. He's going to run out of gas. And he's not going to be part of the equation at the end. I think he'll get to the eighth pole and he'll just start fading. And a bunch of horses will pass him. Now, like you said, he's looked great. We should mention that.
He's looked awesome.
Fantastic. He looks very comfortable at Churchill Downs. Horse runs his race, he wins. And so if you're playing one of those multi-race sequences we talk about, if you leave Fierceness out, that is a decision. That's an absolute decision.
All right, we're going on next. The 18 here is Stronghold. 20-1 shot. Louie, I can never remember a Santa Anita Derby winner being so less talked about than this horse. Not even really besmirched. It might have been the wrong word. Like, ignored in a lot of ways. 20-1 here on Stronghold. I think this horse hits the board. What says you?
Nice. I like that a lot. I mentioned Antonio Fresu, who's going to be riding here. Really, really quality Italian jock for Phil D'Amato here. They hook up a lot. They win at about 20%. Go back and watch the Santa Anita Derby. The thing that you would like the most about Stronghold is that he was behind two horses and forced a path between them. And in the Derby, you have to do stuff like that. You have to be willing to make your own way in the traffic. You really do. And so I like that a lot, frankly, a lot about Stronghold. I simply don't know if he's fast enough to win the Kentucky Derby. I just don't know. And that's really the issue for me with him. Did win the Santa Anita Derby, like you mentioned. Before that, won in freaking New Mexico in the Sunland Derby, okay? So this is a horse that can travel and win. Before that, ran second in the Los Al Futurity behind Baffert, and before that, second behind Nysos. If Nysos were healthy, he'd be the best three-year-old in the country right now. It is what it is. So running second to that horse, not a big deal. 20-1 is an unbelievable price, and I think you're going to get every bit of that, maybe 25.
All right, we're going to move on to the next one, which is Resilience, winner of the Wood Memorial, 100-point race. We've seen Resilience a lot this week.
If you want to make the case for Resilience, it's about Aqueduct and the surface this year for three-year-olds. The Remsen in December, we had three Derby starters run in that race. Domestic Product ran seventh, and then Door Knock and Sierra Leone ran 1-2 right next to each other in a very famous stretch duel now at Aqueduct. They all left, took time off, and won their first race back at three different tracks. So maybe Aqueduct is just traveling really well. And the Wood Memorial this year, for some reason, is just different. With the renovation at Belmont Park, they're having to run a lot more at Aqueduct. So they had to change up the surface a little bit. I wonder about that. Danny Gargan the other day told me I'm a total idiot for thinking that. But I do believe that. And I think that if you're going to get a Wood Memorial winner, resilience is as good as any.
Next, we've got the 20-horse Society Man. This is a 50-to-1 shot that I actually do think could hit the board. Danny Gargan, second starter here. Dottori on board. What do you like about
it? What you're hoping with this, if you include him in a super or a try or something like that, is that it is Frankie Dottori being a veteran jockey
right.
and making all the right decisions. That's not a bad angle. That really isn't. It's not a bad angle. We sat down with Danny yesterday. He seemed weirdly confident about this horse.
Weirdly.
Right?
I'm thinking this horse actually finishes ahead of Doorknock.
I think he thinks that too.
Yeah.
And that's where – and he talked a lot about Dottori. Really obviously someone he respects. They've hooked up 0 times before. This is what happens in the Kentucky Derby. Once in a while, you just have a jock and a trainer that have never gotten together, but it's the freaking $5 million Kentucky Derby. So they get them hooked up. I don't like this horse, but if you want to, if you're a jockey, if you're a person that follows jocks, follows that kind of thing, Society Man might be included in a longer ticket. Yeah.
All right. The also eligible that got in today was Epic Ride. John Ennis has done a great job with this horse,
training this
horse like he was going to be in the Derby, knowing that the likelihood of someone scratching was up there. Biscuit gets the ride. What do you think about Epic Ride?
I really like John. I got to interview him a couple weeks ago. I don't know the scenario where this horse wins the Kentucky Derby. I don't know what it looks like.
Could hit the board?
I don't know the scenario of the Kentucky Derby where this horse hits the board.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. That doesn't mean it can't happen. It's the freaking Derby.
Sure.
I don't know what that looks like. And starting in that far, far outside gate takes a special horse like Big Brown to be successful. I will let Epic Ride beat me this year.
The last horse that we've got is the other also eligible. Let's talk about what has to happen, Louis, for Mugatu to get in the race in the first place.
Not a whole lot.
You gotta have one more scratch before Friday, basically.
Friday morning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Friday.
Friday at 9 a.m. Is that the cutoff?
9 or 10, yeah. Right.
Yeah. So if a horse scratches after that, Mugatu's out of the race.
That's
right. We'll have 19 horses.
Right.
So if we have 2 scratches, we're gonna have 19 horses. Mugatu gets in.
That happened in 2016 with Whitmore. That's why Whitmore finished last.
Absolutely. All right. So the official Derby picks, Louis. They're on the board. Are you gonna really put Endlessly out there?
I'm in public.
This is why Ben Roberts asked me
to play for Herald Leader. My best friends here. I got Endlessly on top. I really trust the Ruby as the modern best predictor outside of the Florida Derby for success. But Louis, Fierceness won the Florida. I get it. But the horse bounces. He's in every other horse. So Fierceness doesn't show up on Saturday, which is a possibility. Or he gets caught in that pace duel. I think a horse like Endlessly, someone more mid-pack than, say, a Sierra Leone, is going to be able to win this race. And the surface at Churchill, those horses travel well from Florence. They do. I'm not worried about this horse at all. I think the bluster is totally made up. I don't buy any of it. And so I'm going to look for Endlessly to be on top of the Derby.
And you have Fierceness on here as your third pick
to win,
but not to come in. Like, this would not be a superfecta bet.
I would not bet those four horses
together. Yeah. Again, Endlessly, or not Endlessly, Fierceness is either going to win this race or probably finish
in the top
15th or something. All right.
Would I love a stretch duel between Fierceness and Sierra Leone? You bet your ass I would. I would love it. I just don't. That's a very unlikely scenario with 20 horses.
I think we should have a pretty exciting Kentucky Derby. I think we're going to have good weather. Knock on wood. We're also set up to have
Dan, how about that?
Preakness Stakes. We should have an amazing Preakness Stakes.
We should.
We're going to be out there as well in Pimlico. Again, this week, 10-2 tomorrow, ESPN 680. 10-2 on Thursday. 10 to noon, sorry.
Yep.
I'm already thinking about my other schedule. 10 to noon on Thursday. On ESPN 680.
10-1.
10-1 on Friday. 11-2 on Saturday. We'll be there for all your coverage. And
I tell people all the time, if you're driving somewhere, throw the radio on. If you're getting ready for a Derby party, throw it on your smart speaker. Whatever you got to do, we'll be on all day. I want to thank Mike Penna for doing the pregame show for
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Mike. Horse Racing Radio Network leading into our show. Mike, if you're out there.
I want to thank all the people here who came out to hear us. Gasbacks. Make sure you tip your servers. We're going to pay the tab. We're going to get out of here. This has been the Horse Racing Happy Hour.